Now, as you and I go through life, we'll find out that there are a tremendous number of surprises in life. The older you get, the more the surprises. And God wants us to understand that because of who He is, you and I need to focus on Him, that those surprises in our life can never control us. Now, before I begin this morning on focusing on God the Father, I want you to remember something. If you are not an individual that believes the Holy Word of God, or you don't believe what's in the Bible is of God, if you're an individual that does not believe that in this book, it's not just the words, it's the breath of God, it's the heart of God. This book gives you and I instructions on how to live right here on planet Earth. It's reality living. Boy, you want to see reality, read the Bible. You want to see one of the bloodiest books that's ever been written, read the Bible. Full of more sex and vileness than any book ever written. God said, I'm going to tell you the truth. And then He says, I am truth. And I'm going to send my Son. And He is going to bring to you, skin on skin, my truth. So, you and I then need to understand that in order for us to even look in the realm of God, that we must understand that this is the Word of God. Is it all the Word of God? No. Folks, I've studied this for 45 years. And I still go back and keep rereading and rereading, and I have found out, boy, I sure don't know very much. I've also found out that God has mercy on me, and He gives me grace. Because, see, God intends for you to know Him personally through His Son. God is a personal God. And God wants to deal with your life where you are. God sent His Son to save the world, not to condemn the world. There's a purpose for the church. God's purpose. But what about God? What does the world tell us about God? Well, many in the world will let you know there is no such thing as a God. God, to the world, is an image that human beings build up in their mind so that they can feel better. Well, I want to tell you something. The world's wrong. The world's wrong. I do not have to know how to even spell Jesus to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. Now, there's a reason for that. That reason is the Spirit of God. All the foolish questions that come about, and you've heard me say this to you before, it is so foolish saying, who created God? It goes back to the focus of, it's like asking the question, to whom is the bachelor married? No relevance to it. See, God is Spirit. Now, as we go through this morning, I'm going to show you the difference between all the beauty of God's creation that He created and explain that God was never created. The creation is just in the realm of the world, what you can see. Going, it seems like I have a scripture in there also. It's going to let you know it's not what you see that's real. is what you don't see that is real and really matters. You've been walking along and you're hurting and you just don't know what to do to be able to ease that pain or that hurt. It's not what you do. It always focuses in who you know. I know Jesus. I never met Jesus personally, face to face. I've never seen Jesus. I've never had an image of Jesus come to me. No angel ever stood at the foot of my bed. No angel was ever foolish enough to do that. I didn't see anything. Yet I know. See, I don't guess, is there God? I know there is God. God speaks to you and me spiritually, does he not? When you came under conviction, I doubt very much that somebody walked up to you in church and slapped you upside the head with this Bible and said, I'm going to break all 10 commandments or whatever it takes to get you saved. I doubt that that happened. For one thing, if it did, that ain't the way you got saved. It's under the conviction, isn't it? That you had, well, I know that God spoke to me. Now, you try explaining that to a non-believer. He knows God spoke to him. Prove it. God doesn't need to be proved. I know. I know my relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that I'm the only one in that relationship that's shaky. Jesus is solid. He is the foundation for you and I to stand on. He is the foundation of life itself. And he was sent here by a God that is infinite. A God that had no beginning and had no ending. Jesus came, and you're going to learn a lot about Jesus this year. It's amazing, isn't it? Christians will say, I believe in Jesus. And we will say so often, this is my religion. Jesus is a relationship. Your relationship directly with him. There's no personality anywhere like yours. Every individual has that individual personality, created just exactly the way God wants you. If you're a grouch, God loves grouches. If you're nice, God loves nice people. If you're bad, God loves bad people. How do you think we get saved? If I don't come under conviction by the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, God is spirit. Now, you're going to be seeing a whole lot of beautiful pictures in a moment. But I want you to take a look. Thank you, David. I want you to look back at the screen that David just had up there. I want you to pay attention to something. If I'm going to look into the realm of God, that's as good as I get. Oh, now I know that we have scripture from the Apostle Paul and John the Beloved in Revelation. I know we have that. But did you realize that on both cases that God told them on certain things they saw they could not speak, could not have words for them? And the way God relayed what they were looking at to us was by the human mind of something that we can look at and see and we can relate to. Gold. The beauty of gold, the shiny, the emeralds, all the diamonds and all. That's the only thing that we can relate to. But God, when I'm going to look into his realm, I see the purity. God was never created. God has no beginning and he has no ending. God happens to be the creator, the only creator of what is seen. Have you seen God? No. Matter of fact, no man has seen God and lived. You can't stand in the presence of God. Oh, I'm so holy, I'll stand in the presence of God. Oh, no, you're not. You cannot stand in God's presence. You will kneel before God. You will bow your head before God, and you will tremble because He is God and He is awesome. And that God, who is so awesome, happens to love you just like you are. And it's up to Him, His Spirit in you, and you allowing His Spirit to work in you, that changes you. You know how God sees you right now? As complete. He sees you how you're going to be when you're going to be in His presence, because as far as He's concerned, if you know Jesus Christ, you can count it, you're already there. Now, I'm stuck in an old broken down body. I'm stuck right here on planet Earth. And the reason I am is because my job down here on Earth isn't over yet. And when it's over, the Lord has promised me that I get to be with Him, that I get to be in His realm. But right now, I have to be in the realm that God created. The beauty of the realm that God created. The realm of the worlds, the realm of the galaxies. Look at that beauty. Well, I can relate to beauty. But see, God is so beautiful and so pure. I cannot see beyond the whiteness of that beauty. I cannot see beyond the darkness of space. I cannot see beyond what God has allowed me to see. Do you know that He says right now you and I only see through the glass dimly. But soon, one of these days, sooner for some of us, we will know as we are known. It will be clear then. Oh, let me tell you something, folks. Isn't that beautiful? Show us a couple of slides there, David. I want folks to see something here. This is God's creation. This is the space that is out there. God's creation. Oh, my goodness, isn't that beautiful? Now look at the eye of God, it's called. Woo! That'd shake you up. You come up on that in a spaceship, wouldn't it? God is looking to you and looking to me. And His eyes are always upon us. Not only are His eyes upon us, God was never created. God has always been. You cannot relate God to the planet Earth or the realm of the Earth or to space. God is beyond. And He created us. And He created us to live beyond. I want you to live beyond greater things than you can believe in your mind. Oh, Lord, I can think pretty big. You know, when it's talking about, you know, eyes not seen, ears not heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the greatness that awaits us. And I think, gosh, I can think awful big on that kind of stuff. And it's better than that. I cannot imagine it. You know why? It's not in the realm of the world. It's not in the realm of the physical. It's in the realm of the infinite. Good gracious. Bud Lightyear had it about as good as anybody I know. You met Buzz Lightyear. One Bud. That's Bud Armstrong. Okay. Buzz Lightyear. To infinity and beyond. Remember?
Yes.
All right. Well, Buzz did good. But let me tell you, it's exactly what we do when we're looking to God. It's what's beyond. Can you think of greatness? Then I want you to think greater. Well, I can't. That's because you and I are finite. We have a beginning in this human body and we have an ending. But you're going to learn this year, folks, as we go through what we truly believe, you're going to learn that there is that spirit in you. It is your spirit that connects with God's spirit, and God gave you your spirit. And God said, I want you to know that when that body is through with that spirit, that body will return to the dust from which I created it. But your spirit's coming home, coming to me. I am God, he says. Don't try to put me up on your shelf. Don't try to build something for me, because I already own everything there is except me spiritually. For I am spirit. John 4:24. God is spirit. I told you it's in the book. God is spirit. And his worshipers, that's us Christians, his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Worship God in spirit. It is our spirit that connects to God. You'll learn a lot about that this year. Our spirit. But it's our spirit that God has given us. And God says, my spirit belongs to him. Your spirit belongs to him. What human being can take away from God? I belong to God. It doesn't matter to me what man says. Can you hurt? Get my feelings hurt? I'm a pastor. We don't have feelings like that. Hurt feelings? Think of this. God looks at you. A snotty-nosed kid like me, Buffalo Hill, Buffalo, Kentucky. People never heard of. God did. He was in Magnolia, Kentucky when I was born. And I appreciate that, because nobody else was but my mother. And the midwife was late getting there. I'm glad God was there. Because God said that I would be born. And I was. And God said, Larry, I'm going to call you to preach. I didn't know any of this stuff. I was 30 years old when I accepted the call to preach. God had a plan for me. Snotty nose or not, he had a plan for me. And that plan was to tell the world about his son, Jesus. That's what we do, Christians. That's what we're about, Christians. God says, pay attention to me. I have no beginning and I have no ending. Deuteronomy 33:27, first part. The eternal God is your refuge. Eternal. Forever and ever and ever and ever. He's not only my eternal God, he's my internal God. God is all over me. He's all over you. He's watching after you. He knows what's around the next curve. Don't you let men discourage you. You follow your spirit. When God says do something, just shut up and stand out there. Lord, I don't want to. He already knows you don't know what you're doing. He loves you. You see, God's business is God's business. Larry, I want you to preach. Oh, boy. This Marine's going to preach. Really? Yep. All right. Lord. Okay. You know, I never did argue with God about my calling, though. When I knew God called me to preach, I said, okay. Brother Theodore McCubbins, White Mills Baptist Church, scared the fire out of me. I went in that Sunday and I said, Brother McCubbins, I feel that God's called me to preach. Okay, Larry, you preach next Sunday. Really? Isn't there more to this than I preach next Sunday? You preach next Sunday. Okay. And next Sunday I preached. I've been preaching ever since. God's call is under God's control. You do not control your own fate. You do not control your own future. Really? Well, I'm going to do all these great things. You know, I got my new watch. Don't you hate it when your watch goes off and says it's time to breathe? Any of you got one of those? It says a minute of breathing will do you good. And I thought, gosh, I thought I'd been breathing all along. I didn't know I needed to start thinking about this. Well, you see, you're not counted for the next moment. You don't know what the next moment's going to bring any more than I do. But one thing that I do know, my God knows everything. My God was not created by anything. Creation began because God said, I'm going to create. He is the only creator. Big Bang Theory. All right, go ahead. Deal with the Big Bang. I'm here to tell you God made the Big Bang. God made it bang when he wanted it to bang. Don't get into that stuff. Yeah, but you know, I have to see to believe. Really? Are we to the such a point that we're omniscient, all-knowing? Are we to the point to where that we are an individual that are omnipresent? You can be everywhere at the same time. My God can. My God can. Have we really reached the omnipotent part? All-powerful? My God is all-powerful. No, you're not. You're a human being. And God gave us this body to rest our spirit in and to present his word until it's time for us to go to his holy kingdom. And it is going to be awesome. How you know? I know. Because God said so. So now, Larry, you can't figure this out. It didn't. I knew that. I don't have to be smart. I have to be loyal to my Savior, who is so generous to me. Have you ever been so blessed as to be and live in the United States of America? Now, everybody that wants to go socialism and all this kind of stuff, let me tell you something. Go live in a country first, then come back and tell me what you think. You got it? You play those silly games. God says, listen, I am God. Under communism, I can't believe there's a God. Good gracious, folks, sometimes in some of our own communities, if you profess to be a Christian, you're looked down upon. I remember the days where Christianity was popular. It is not popular today. And yet we have young people that are standing up for Christ. Oh, what was in Georgia? Passion. How many young people were there, Olivia? 65,000 college-age and high school-age young folk were there praising God. Isn't that awesome? God says, I will bring them up. I will direct them. It's up to us old people. It's up to us to feed them on God's word. I cannot make my son or my grandson do anything anymore. But I can make sure that they've heard the word of God ever since they were breathing. They know the truth. And then they're called by God for their own individual purpose. which is always God's purpose. Okay. On in 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. Listen to Paul. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Yeah, but I have to know, and I have to follow what the scientists tell me. Okay, I agree with that. I agree about the scientific methods of life. Okay? I have no trouble with that. Scientists are pretty smart, but they're not God. Did you know you can't create anything only God could create? Now, you can take what exists and put it together and make something, but you can't create from nothing. Only God could do that. Only a God that had no beginning and has no ending. So here we have science. Okay. Light. Did you know the speed of light? 186,000 feet per second. Right? Okay. That's awesome. Good gracious, people. My mind can't grasp 186,000 feet per second. Oh, yeah, but it sounds okay, fine. I understand that. That's five, and a light year, the distance for a light year is 5.88 trillion miles. Really? I'm going to wrap my mind around that. The circumference of the earth is 3,959 miles. I cannot wrap my mind around that part. I love it, though. Let's say we got a capsule out here. And we stick Brother Randy in this capsule, and we're going to shoot into space to go around the earth. Did you know that that capsule is geared to travel at light speed? We pop Brother Randy in the castle, in the capsule. Send him off. We'll have prayer first. Right. Send him off. Did you know that he will have completed 7.5 times around Earth in 1 second? Now, can you wrap your mind around that? His mind would be wrapped around it. A little scrambled when he landed. 7.5 times in 1 second. Around planet Earth. Well, see, that's science. Do I believe it? Sure. I have no trouble with that at all. The beauty of the realm of science, outer space, it is so beautiful. Now, I just told you how great and how awesome that it is when we are dealing with science, a light speed. That's fast. But here's something that science can't figure out. They don't know when anything began, and they don't know when it's going to end. Now, going the speed of light, we got one problem when we're trying to see the far galaxies. It's science, it's there, no problem. But you know what our problem is? What we see in those faraway galaxies is not the galaxy. You know why? Because space itself is going faster than the speed of life, of light. Going faster than the speed of light. Now, do I understand that? No. Do you believe it? Sure. I'll believe it because I don't know not to believe it. But you can't explain it. No, I can't explain it. Then why are you angry with me? When I tell you I believe that Almighty God is spiritual, there's no beginning and there's no ending. Do you know why they can't measure the actual speed of the growth of space? Because the scientists admit we don't have a beginning age and we don't have an ending edge. So therefore, it's cause and effect. Well, cause and effect, which in our realm, that's what we go by. You know, if something is there, somebody had to cause it. A pew didn't just appear there. Somebody put it there. But cause and effect is not in the realm of God. God is not controlled by His creation. God is spirit, and He must be worshiped in spirit and in truth. And He sent His truth in His Son for us to understand truth. He's spirit. And He's given us so much. He has given us this realm of causation. And He says, yes. Now the time that you need to stop believing in this is when it comes to me and you spiritually. Do you believe that when your body dies, that your spirit is taken back to God from whence it came, just like He said? I do. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I've accepted Him as my Lord and my Savior personally. I believe that. And everyone else who believes it, I'll see you later in heaven. We will be there together. And oh, yes, you'll learn more about that this year. Will we know each other? Yep. Yep. Now, here's something that's absent. The flaws of the human existence will not enter the kingdom of God. Did you know not one of my flaws is going to make it to heaven? So you all just drop it right now. It's not going there. And nobody, I don't care what the songs that are sung say, nobody is building your own mansion one board at a time in heaven. It's not happening. God said to us, you got a home in glory land. It outshines the sun, but not His Son. Because it is His Son that enlightens and lightens all of glory. I know Him personally. He's my Lord and He's my Savior. He saved me. And all the realms of life cannot change that. For God is truly in control. It's not what I see that's real. Think of this in your life when your relationship with those you love. Do you not connect spiritually? Do you ever get mad at somebody, at each other? Oh, good God, you get mad at yourself all the time. If you get mad at yourself, you're going to get mad at others. But you're connected spiritually, are you not? Is it not that inner connection that you have with those you love that is more powerful than the outer? God said, I am God. And then He said, I love you. Do you know why God created a human being? For fellowship. God created us to love us, and we are the only of all His creation that has the ability to love Him back. Man, we got it made. You think this is beautiful? Well, excuse my grammar, but you ain't seen nothing yet. You just wait till you take that step in the spiritual realm of God. And you will meet God. No one has seen God other than Jesus, his son. We'll get into that about who he is. No one has seen God other than the one who came from God, who is Jesus. And no one will until Jesus comes back for his church. Woo! What a shouting time. Oh, Brother Randy gonna be turned loose. He'd be shouting and throwing his arms and all of that stuff. Will I pay any attention? No, I'm too busy shouting and throwing my arms and all that stuff. It's the way it is. God always has been. But I don't understand it. Let me leave you with this thought. If you can understand God, you got the wrong God. You got the wrong God. I know he loves me. Bible tells me that. And he loved me so much that he sent his son, God incarnate, to come and die for me. And to not just tell me so, but to show me so. That's what we ought to be about, Christians. You show the world love. You want friends? Try being a tad friendly. Show the world the love of God instead of telling the world God hates you. God hates sin. And the reason he hates sin is for what it does to his creation. We serve an awesome God. He brings peace during a time of trial and tribulation. Can't you just for a moment just accept that peace? Because he promised it to you. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings of life, the joy of salvation. Father, I know that there's no way humanly that we can explain anything about your existence. Father, we realize that you've told us that without faith it is impossible to please you. So, Father, we come with the faith you have given us, believing and knowing that you are God unlimited, God infinite, the God of glory, the God of existence, and the God that will accept us home. We ask your blessing now, Father, as you touch each heart, that it'll be through your touch that we will all focus on your love. Thank you, Father. And yes, we believe. We ask your blessing of the day in Jesus' name. Amen. During a time of invitation, what does God want you to do? If you haven't accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, you need to understand something. It's not because he isn't inviting you to do so. It's not because you haven't been given the invitation. It's because of the hardness of your heart. Oh, I want to hold on to what I have. Without God in your life, you have nothing. And even if you see that you have all the wealth of this earth, without Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you have nothing. Be at peace.